and a good Tuesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call, 910-251-6088. Well, as we start off the program this morning, President Donald Trump made a major announcement in the District of Columbia yesterday at the White House as it relates to the future of D.C. and the out-of-control crime problem that continues to exist. I've got plenty of clips, and we'll get into all of that throughout the show this morning. But before we get into that, I want to start off with this notion, this concept, this idea of leadership. And I want to start off by saying, I don't love everything that Donald Trump does. I don't think you shouldn't inherently love everything that the president does. We should have disagreements. It's okay to disagree with somebody. And so while I don't love everything that Trump does, I do love the fact that he's willing to do things. I do love the fact that he's willing to make decisions. Sometimes hard, sometimes tough decisions. And so with that, some things will be good, some things will be bad. But I feel strongly this morning that the ability to make a decision and to try and solve a problem is far superior to that of sitting back and not doing anything. And when you compare and contrast the Trump administration in the first almost 7 months, it'll be 7 months next week that Trump will have been back in the Oval Office. When you look at the last 7 months compared to the last 4 years, there is a clear and obvious difference between individuals that are willing and capable of making decisions and those that are not. And when you look at the previous administration, you look at Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, they were unwilling to make decisions. They were unwilling to do things because they may have been unpopular, because there could have been some sort of political retaliation, because it may have not necessarily fit the Democrat left-wing narrative. So for the vast majority of the Biden administration, nothing was done. And while I guess it's good that government wasn't doing a whole hell of a lot of anything, it has led to some serious problems. You look at the border. You look at the economy with inflation. You look at the war between Russia and Ukraine, which, by the way, Trump is set to, once again, to meet with the Russian president coming up on Friday. So that'll be taking place. And so when you compare and contrast that, what you saw over the last 4 years to what you've seen over the last 7 months, it is a complete and total 180. Donald Trump and the people around him are willing to try things out. They are willing to make decisions. And to me, that is the sign of a good, strong leader. That is the sign of somebody that is willing to try and fix a problem. Because what we know for certain is that problems don't just go away. Problems don't just miraculously vanish over time. Now, some may. But the vast majority of things don't just magically disappear. You don't go to bed at night hoping that a problem goes away and you wake up and it's solved. That's not the real world. That's a fairy tale. And so when issues are facing the United States of America, when issues are facing the world, when you look at some of the international conflicts that have sprung up over the last couple of years, to me, and from my vantage point, I want a strong individual that is willing to try something. I want a strong individual who is willing to try things out, knowing that not everything's going to be a home run, knowing that not everything's going to drive the winning run home. But the alternative to that is doing nothing. The alternative to that is continuing down the same path, continuing down the same road, and not seeing any change. not seeing any resolution to a problem. And I will contend to you this morning that that's bad, right? I'll use the border as the example. The previous administration had an issue with immigration. You had hundreds of thousands of people a month being encountered by CBP, Customs and Border Protection. And Joe Biden and his border czar, Kamala Harris, didn't do a damn thing about it. Nothing. Not only did they not do anything, they didn't talk about it. They didn't make commentary about it. It was seemingly a non-issue for the previous administration, as I believe they hoped that the problem would just miraculously solve itself one day. That Joe Biden would wake up one morning and the next thing you know, immigration would be solved. You wouldn't have hundreds of thousands of people illegally crossing the border. That never happened. And that's the difference between weak leadership and strong leadership, which is what you see in this administration. Now, I set that up because of the announcement yesterday. I, in fact, do love what the president is doing with the District of Columbia. I do love the fact that he is holding the Democrats' feet to the fire, calling them out and trying and doing everything in his authority, it's a key portion of this, in his authority to solve a problem. The president announced yesterday that he would be exercising his power over Washington, D.C., announcing that he will be deploying the National Guard and for temporarily taking over the city's police department to combat what he and his administration calls out-of-control crime and homelessness. That's not something that happens every day. And I might argue it's not something that should happen every day. But you've got a major problem unfolding in Washington, D.C. Surprise, surprise, you've got weak Democrat leadership in the District of Columbia. Imagine my shock and surprise when I figured that out, that has done nothing about it. And so the president, in his ability to be a strong and decisive leader, has decided he is going to take action. Because those on the political left, just like with the vast majority of the other issues that they face, they don't want to do anything. And, you know, speaking of homelessness, we just went through this last week here in Wilmington. You saw in real time, I played through all the clips of the Wilmington City Council being unwilling to deal with the issue because it's not politically expedient. Because it's not the politically correct thing to say or do to call out homelessness, to call out the crime that shows up as a result of that. Because it's not politically expedient, they do nothing about it. President Donald Trump says, to hell with that. I'm not going to sit by and allow the District of Columbia to be overrun, to be overtaken by criminals. I'm not going to allow individuals to be urinating and defecating in taxpayer-owned and operated national parks that exist all throughout Washington, D.C. He's not going to do it. These were his opening comments in the White House press briefing room. By the way, I'll note, an incredibly packed, the busiest I've ever seen, White House press briefing room yesterday. Here's President Trump.
And we're here for a very serious purpose, very serious purpose. Something's out of control, but we're going to put it in control very quickly, like we did on the southern border. I'm announcing a historic action to rescue our nation's capital from crime, bloodshed, bedlam, and squalor, and worse. This is Liberation Day in D.C., and we're going to take our capital back. We're taking it back under the authorities vested in me as the President of the United States. I'm officially invoking Section 740 of the District of Columbia Home Rule Act. You know what that is? And placing the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department under direct federal control, and you'll be meeting the people that will be directly involved with that. Very good people, but they're tough, and they know what's happening, and they've done it before. In addition, I'm deploying the National Guard to help reestablish law, order, and public safety in Washington, D.C., and they're going to be allowed to do their job properly. And you people are victims of it, too. You know, you're reporters, and I understand a lot of you tend to be on the liberal side, but you don't want to get mugged and raped and shot and killed. And you all know people and friends of yours that happened. And so you can be anything you want, but you want to have safety in the streets. You want to be able to leave your apartment or your house where you live and feel safe and go into a store to buy a newspaper or buy something. And you don't have that now. The murder rate in Washington today is higher than that of Bogota, Colombia, Mexico City, some of the places that you hear about as being the worst places on earth, much higher. This is much higher. The number of car thefts has doubled over the past 5 years, and the number of carjackings has more than tripled. Murders in 2023 reached the highest rate probably ever. They say 25 years, but they don't know what that means because it just goes back 25 years. Can't be worse.
Well, and he's talking about these crime statistics. And as I was doing some research and looking into this yesterday afternoon, I was shocked. In 2023, the District of Columbia, which, by the way, does not have a huge population. D.C. proper is not that big. Like, not only geographically is it not that big, but population-wise, the District of Columbia is not a very large area. The vast majority of people that say they work in D.C. don't actually live in the District of Columbia. They live in neighboring communities. They live in areas outside of the district itself. The District of Columbia only has actual population within Washington, D.C., is less than 750,000. And you might say, oh, well, that's a pretty large city. It's not a small city, but it's not a massive, massive city when you look at the actual population of D.C. And so in 2023, there were 274 homicides in D.C., that 25-year high that the president is talking about. In the same year, 2023, carjackings soared to more than 100 per month. Now, you can do the math as to how many months there are in a year and how many 100 per month, more than 100 per month is. This is in an area that is housing the federal government. This is in an area that is housing the institutions that control and allow the federal government to operate day in and day out. These crime numbers are unimaginable. But I guess I shouldn't say that, because when you've got weak Democrat leadership, which is what you've got with the DC City Council, you've got with the mayor and the police chief, I guess it's no surprise, I guess it's no shock that crime is near the numbers where they are out of these statistics and out of these studies.
Our capital city has been overtaken by violent gangs and bloodthirsty criminals, roving mobs of wild youth, drugged out maniacs and homeless people. And we're not going to let it happen anymore. We're not going to take it. Yeah, just like we did on our southern border. Nobody comes through our southern border anymore. 3 months in a row, we had zero. I don't know if that's right, but the people that do the work, it's a very liberal group of people, actually, and they actually said zero for the last 3 months. Nobody thought a thing like that was possible. And, you know, when you say take a look at numbers, I just saw some charts. These are different cities throughout the world. Red is... okay, the red is a place called Washington, D.C. Look at these. Baghdad is, we doubled up on Baghdad. Panama City, Brasilia, San Jose, Costa Rica, Bogota, Colombia, heavy drugs. Mexico City, I mentioned, Lima, Peru. All double and triple what they are. So do you want to live in places like that? I don't think so. I don't think so. And I think the people in this room, if you wrote correctly, you'd see, look at the kind of numbers we have. D.C., 41 per 100,000, number one that we can find anywhere in the world. Other cities are pretty bad, but they're not as bad as that. Is that where you want to live, the reporters of the world? Juvenile offenders and crimes against persons, as they say. It's getting worse. Not getting better, it's getting worse. And we had a recent indication. There was a story about a man who was just left. He quit because he was asked to do phony numbers on crime. And we're going to look into that. I think Pam is going to be looking into that. He was asked by the city, I guess, that we don't want to show the real numbers. Let me do numbers so it looks like it's going down. Not going down. And under Biden, it was a disaster. And nobody did anything about it. We're going to do things about it like you wouldn't believe. Every American has a constitutional right to be able to access and petition their government in safety, and countless federal officials and employees likewise have the right to carry out their jobs in peace without being shot. As you know, I lost a very good person a while ago, was shot waiting for his wife. He was in the car. They robbed his car. They shot him. They killed him like it was nothing to it. She was walking to the car. It's a horror show. This issue directly impacts the functioning of the federal government and is a threat to America, really. It's a threat to our country.
It is absolutely a threat to the country, as the president notes there. Here is the 2024 murder rate per capita here. This chart out from the White House showing Washington, D.C. at 27.54. You can look at some of these other much larger major cities that have a crime rate that is significantly lower, significantly less than the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C. Getting some commentary in on our Facebook live chat this morning. Francine says, I love it. Trump doesn't play around. That's exactly what I hoped for. I mean, I think that's what a lot of people voted for. It's what they loved about him in 2016, and it's what they continue to love about him here in 2025. You've got a problem. And Democrats, I mean, you talk about being just off the mark and completely missing the ball. Democrats are now protesting in Washington, D.C., claiming that the murder rate, the violent crime rate, the homelessness, that it's not really a problem. You've got protesters and Hakeem Jeffries. I saw a post from the illustrious Hillary Clinton yesterday on her X account talking about how this isn't true. The D.C. crime rate isn't really that high. So now you've got Democrats who are now claiming that it's really not a problem. That looking at the numbers, looking at more than 100 carjackings per month, looking at more than 274 homicides, they don't believe that's a problem. They don't think that that's an issue, I guess. These are the same individuals that are in charge, in power, and are weak on crime. And the president talked about how it's a lot of these policies that have allowed this to get to the position where it is.
This dire public safety crisis stems directly from the abject failures of the city's local leadership. The radical left city council adopted no cash bail. By the way, every place in the country where you have no cash bail is a disaster. That's what started the problem in New York, and they don't change it.
100% right.
They don't want to change it. That's what started it in Chicago. I mean, bad politicians started it, bad leadership started it, but that was the one thing that's central, no cash bail. Somebody murders somebody, and they're out on no cash bail before the day is out. We're going to end that in Chicago. We're going to change the statute. I spoke with Pam and Todd and everybody. We're going to change the statute, and I'm going to have to get the Republicans to vote because the Democrats are weak on crime, totally weak on crime. They don't know why they want to stop, because they get mugged too. But we're going to change no cash bail. We're going to change the statute and get rid of some of the other things, and we'll count on the Republicans in Congress and Senate to vote. We have the majority, so we'll vote.
And so there you've got the president laying out the issue. And folks, you don't have to look at D.C. Let's just pretend that D.C. is not an issue. Let's buy the Democrat narrative that the District of Columbia and the crime problem there is not real. Okay, fine. Trump is 100% dead wrong. Hakeem Jeffries and Hillary Clinton, they are right. They're 100% right. D.C. is not a problem. Let's go look at all of the other major blue Democrat cities, as I like to call them, progressive hellholes that exist throughout the United States. Let's look at what's going on in New York City. Let's look at what's going on in San Francisco or Los Angeles or Chicago or Baltimore, Philadelphia. How about St. Louis? Let's keep going down the list of Democrat-run cities that are plagued with out-of-control violence and out-of-control crime. The list goes on and on and on. And it comes back to a very similar, easy concept to wrap your head around, which is Democrats are weak on crime. Democrats are not the party of law and order. They are with the criminals. They don't believe it's compassionate to lock up somebody who has just shot and killed or raped somebody in the streets. They think that that person needs to be out on no cash bail because it's the compassionate thing to do. How it's compassionate ceases to amaze me. I can't wrap my head around how that is something that is compassionate to treat somebody that is being accused of an incredibly heinous act or crime that they deserve any sort of compassion in the world. Now, what they do deserve is a fair and free trial, right? They deserve the ability to go through our judicial system as it's laid out in the United States Constitution. But that's it. They don't deserve anything else. Nothing. But in these Democrat-run cities, in these Democrat-run municipalities, they believe that it is the compassionate thing to do, that somehow society is a better place when you've got dangerous, hardened criminals running around and roaming your streets, arrested time and time again, released over and over again. And they, for whatever reason, believe that that's a popular strategy, that that's something that's going to bring some level of prosperity to their community. But I'll use San Francisco as the example. The out-of-control crime in San Francisco has caused so many businesses to pack up and leave that just back about a year and a half, 2 years ago, the vacancy rate in downtown San Francisco was the highest that it's ever been. And it's not because the rent was too expensive. It's because employers could not operate their business. We saw major stores shuttering their offices, shuttering their retail facilities in San Francisco. Why? Because it wasn't a safe environment. Their stores were getting robbed constantly. Their employees, if they had any left, weren't showing up to work because it was unsafe. They were being harassed and spit on and chased down by the homeless, drugged up population that is the city of San Francisco. They said, to hell with this. I'm not gonna work in downtown San Francisco. You've got 20-something-year-old college girls working part-time. They don't want to deal with that crap. So what do they say? They say, screw it. I'm not going to work here anymore. In many of these other cities, including D.C., you go into a CVS and everything is behind a freaking cage. You can't even open up the freezer section to pull out a 99-cent frozen pizza without having an employee come over and unlock it. That's how bad the looting is in D.C. and in many of these other Democrat cities. You can't pull out a less than $1 frozen pizza from a freezer without somebody helping you, because so many people steal and loot and ransack these stores. Oh, and by the way, these same municipalities have changed the laws so that it's not a crime to shoplift until you get to, what, you know, $700, $800, $900, $1,000. So you can walk into a CVS, you can walk into a Walgreens or any other small store, take less than a couple hundred dollars worth of stuff off the shelves and just walk right out. There's nobody at the store is going to follow you, and the police won't charge you with anything because they've changed the laws to allow shoplifting. They have legalized stealing. And they believe that this is going to bring prosperity to their cities. They believe that they are being compassionate with the individuals that live in their city by allowing stores, who then eventually decide to close because there's no business that can be profitable with the level of looting and crime that you see. So the stores go out of business, meaning that there's no longer a retail establishment in said neighborhood. You no longer have an employer there. And for whatever reason, they think that's a successful strategy, that that is a prosperous policy to bring forth for their community. Our Rumble chat this morning is reporting that in California, it's $950 is the level of where it turns into shoplifting. So yeah, you can walk into a CVS, pick up everything that you need, as long as it doesn't reach $950. Nobody's going to stop you. Call the police, they're not going to respond, and you're good to go. And what ends up happening is these stores, like use these big chains like a CVS or a Rite Aid or a Walgreens, their insurance ends up canceling their coverage because every single month they're going and claiming tens of thousands of dollars worth of losses. Their insurance says, we're not covering you anymore. And then the store goes out of business. And now you've got more vacant property. This is the vicious cycle that exists in Democrat-run cities with their soft-on-crime policies. And then these are the same people that are bitching and complaining about, oh, there's a food desert here. There's no place for people to shop. I wonder why. I wonder why there's no place to shop in some of these inner cities. Maybe it's because you've allowed these stores to become targets. Maybe because you've made it an unsafe environment for a private business to operate. Maybe that's the reason why you have a so-called food desert. Maybe that's the reason why there's no longer any stores on city blocks in places like San Francisco. Maybe that's the reason. I don't know. Maybe I'm just crazy and losing my mind. I think that might cause and might add into why some of these places no longer exist. You can't find anybody to work there because it's an unsafe environment. These stores are losing tens of thousands of dollars a month, and their insurance or carriers are canceling their policies because it's not a sustainable business model. And lo and behold, they go out of business. Surprise, surprise. There's definitely no cause and effect here, right? Weak laws and weak policies on crime equals lawlessness. Lawlessness equals businesses going out. But for the left, there's no correlation. There's no cause and effect at all. And the president doubled this up talking about how the Democrats, well, they really have no ideas at all. And I think he's absolutely spot on. You've heard me say it 1,000 times.
That's why we probably won't get, think of this, probably won't get one Democrat vote because they have no idea what they're doing. That's why they want men playing in women's sports. That's what they why they want transgender for everybody. Everybody transgender. And they just got walloped in an election in a landslide, and they haven't changed one thing. I saw the other day the certain gentleman who was a very well-known politician, Democrat, was fighting like hell that men should be allowed to play in women's sport. They just don't get it. They said it's an 80-20 issue, and I think it's a 97-3 issue. And I don't know who the three are. I've never heard anybody come. Nobody's ever come up to me. Sir, you have to let men play in women's sports. You have to do it, sir. Nobody's ever approached me. I don't know where this issue even comes from.
The president is saying, must be listening to the show, must be listening to the Nick Craig show here pretty often, because what he just said in that 50-second clip is exactly what you've heard from me over the last couple of months. This is a party right now, the Democrat Party, that is down and out, got, as president noted, walloped in the November election last year. This is a party that is consistently on the wrong side of the vast majority of 80-20 issues that exist in society. And they are unwilling to change. They are unwilling to adapt. They are unwilling to say, our ideas aren't working. Our policies suck, and we're losing as a result. And so they just continue down this same path and then wonder why they can't win. And they wonder why somebody like Trump is so popular. They wonder why the American people are backing up and supporting an individual like President Trump, who is saying, no more Mr. Nice Guy. We're not playing around anymore. You guys are allowing these places to fall into chaos, and we're not going to sit beside and just allow it to happen. We're going to do something about it. We're going to lead. We're going to lead with strength. This is not a concept that the left deals with very well. So they continue with their crazy ideas, no cash bail, essentially legalizing shoplifting, which is what you do when you raise the bar to almost $1,000 in certain places of things that you can steal before the police will even be called. When you legalize that stuff, it makes a community less safe. When you give a wink, wink, and nod, nod to criminals, lo and behold, I know this is going to be shocking to many of you listening this morning, criminals will take advantage of that situation. I know that's shocking to hear, but the criminals will take advantage of the weak policies and the weak laws that are put in place. And in some cases, the laws are on the books, but they're just not prosecuted because they've got left-wing district attorneys and left-wing prosecutors that say, ah, the hell with it. Laws are on the books. Who cares? We're not going to prosecute these cases. Oh, we've got bigger fish to fry. Meanwhile, our downtown area is being completely looted and ransacked 7 days a week. But we've got bigger fish to fry. We have to sue the federal government. We have to sue the Trump administration over policies in D.C. That's what AGs and district attorneys are doing all across the United States and predominantly in left-leaning areas. Completely ignoring what's going on in their backyard and filing frivolous lawsuit after frivolous lawsuit against the Trump administration. That's what they're spending their time doing. That's what they're spending their resources doing. That is their winning strategy going forward. We'll hear some more commentary from President Donald Trump alongside from Pete Hegseth, Pam Bondi, and Judge Jeanine Pirro, who really lit it up at this press conference yesterday as well. We'll get into all of that as the Nick Craig Show rolls on this Tuesday morning. Before that, when legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in the law group right here in Wilmington. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of our state. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, folks. They're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088, or their great website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. Can't tell you how thankful I am and how much I appreciate the Law Group and their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. More on Donald Trump's DC takeover coming up after this as the Nick Craig Show rolls on, streaming live on a Tuesday morning, 7 a.m. YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. And a good Tuesday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show as we continue our coverage of a major press release, a major press conference, I should say, yesterday at the White House. President Donald Trump saying no more Mr. Nice Guy, using his authority, which, by the way, he has his authority to take over portions of the District of Columbia. Looking at the legal authority, Trump, the president, has the authority to take over control of the local police for all of those yelling and screaming this morning about the end of democracy. The law is very clear, folks. The District of Columbia, which is not a state, the president has the authority to do so, and Congress can even go further if they decide to repeal some various regulations and laws that are in place. The president has the authority. He feels that there's an out-of-control crime problem. The numbers and the statistics and the stories back up his assertion that that's exactly what's going on. And so he's trucking forward, and he talked about some of these sanctuary cities, these sanctuary policies that have led us to this point. Another great Democrat idea.
But they turned our nation's capital into a sanctuary jurisdiction. That's the other thing. We have to get rid of sanctuary cities as quickly as possible. We're going to do it, too. We have to, because it's sanctuary for criminals. Releasing illegal alien gang members onto the streets in 2022, nearly 70% of criminals arrested in Washington went unprosecuted. That's not going to happen with the group we have standing aside and standing behind me.
70% of criminals were not prosecuted. I would venture to guess that those were not, all 70% of those people not prosecuted were all for petty crimes. We're not talking about a bunch of people getting jaywalking tickets and not being prosecuted on their jaywalking. No, we're talking about hardened criminals that are not prosecuted in these left-wing run cities. And the president calls this, well, a public emergency.
So today we're declaring public safety emergency in the District of Columbia. And Attorney General Pam Bondi, who's fantastic, is taking command of the Metropolitan Police Department as of this moment. And I'll be making the appropriate notifications to Congress and to the mayor, our new DEA administrator, who's one of the top in the country. He better be Terry. If you're not, I'm going to get rid of you so fast. Terry Cole. Terry, thanks. Very good. We just got him. Most highly recommended person. And you'll be designated as the interim federal commissioner of the Metropolitan Police Department. Okay? And you run them tough. They're good. You have a lot of good people. You have people that shouldn't be there. You also have people that shouldn't be there. They got in there because of woke. But you have a lot of great police. And those people are the ones that want to help you. This city will no longer be a sanctuary for illegal alien criminals. We will have full, seamless, integrated cooperation at all levels of law enforcement, and we'll deploy officers across the district with an overwhelming presence. You'll have more police, and you'll be so happy because you'll be safe. When you walk down the street, you're going to see police, or you're going to see FBI agents. We're going to have a lot of agents on the street. You're going to have a lot of essentially military, and we will bring in the military if it's needed. By the way, we're going to have National Guard. But Pete Hegseth will tell you about it. We will bring in the military if needed. People say, oh, that's so terrible. He's going to bring in. It's been used many times over the years. I don't think we'll need it. I think we've got so many great people, including the people that are in the police department with proper leadership. They'll immediately begin massive enforcement operations targeting known gangs, drug dealers, and criminal networks to get them the hell off the street, maybe get them out of the country, because a lot of them came into our country illegally. They shouldn't have been allowed in. They come from Venezuela. They come from all over the world. We're going to get them the hell out. They won't be here long. But some of these people, a lot of them, are homegrown criminals. And these are bad people. These are rough people.
So what part of that does the left disagree with? We're going to get gangbangers, drug dealers, cartel members. We're going to get them off of the streets. Which part of that do Democrats actually disagree with, right? They can't. Are they actually in favor of keeping those people on the streets? I mean, if they've really gone off the deep end, maybe some of them are. But what you just heard there from President Trump, what part of that do you have a vitriolic reaction to? You want cartel members roaming the streets of the District of Columbia? You want gangbangers and drug kingpins? You want them roaming the streets of D.C.? Is that a good thing for the district? Is that a good thing for our nation's capital? I'm going to step out on a limb this morning and say that I don't think that's good. I don't think that's a good idea for D.C. to have those kinds of individuals openly, freely roaming the streets, being arrested, immediately released, being arrested again, being immediately released, so on and so forth, the same process over and over again. And so the president talks about how the National Guard is going to be swelled into the area. Here's Pete Hegseth talking about that.
This morning, we've mobilized the D.C. National Guard. It'll be operationalized by the Secretary of the Army, Dan Driscoll, through the D.C. Guard. You will see them flowing into the streets of Washington in the coming week. At your direction as well, sir, there are other units we are prepared to bring in. Other National Guard units, other specialized units. They will be strong, they will be tough, and they will stand with their law enforcement partners. This is nothing new for DOD. As the president noted, at the border, we've got 10,000 troops down there who've been operating in defense cooperation areas, defense zones, where there's zero illegal crossings because of troops on strikers scanning the border. We've been protecting other people's borders for 20 years. It's about time we protect our own, and we're working with ICE and CBP.
So you've got Secretary Pete Hegseth talking about deploying the D.C. National Guard. Dan Driscoll is going to be the one responsible for that. From the reports I was able to gather, about 800 or so D.C. National Guard members being deployed to the area to restore some level of law and order, some level of control to a community and to an area that has gone way off the deep end. And here's Attorney General Pam Bondi talking about ending crime in the district.
Let me be crystal clear. Crime in D.C. is ending and ending today. We are going to use every power we have to fight criminals here. President, thank you for caring about our Capitol. Families come here every summer. Our museums are free. We have the National Zoo. We have the National Gallery. D.C. should be a place where everyone can come and feel safe. Behind me and to my side, we have some of the best career law enforcement and prosecutors in the country who are ready to take this on.
They're ready to take it on. And again, what part of that do you disagree with, those on the political left? What part of Pam Bondi's commentary do you disagree with? You believe it shouldn't be a safe place to bring your family? You believe that it should not be a safe place to go visit some of the amazing monuments that exist in D.C., some of the amazing museums, the history, everything that D.C. has to offer, you believe that it should not be a safe place? Because the numbers and the news coverage would back up the fact that it, in fact, is not a safe place to be right now. The president also talked about homelessness. We know that, of course, has been a big political discussion here throughout the city of Wilmington, and I love what the president had to say about this.
We're going to be removing homeless encampments from all over our parks, our beautiful, beautiful parks, which now a lot of people can't walk on. They're very dirty, got a lot of problems. But we've already started that. We're moving the encampments away, trying to take care of people. Some of those people, we don't know how they even got there. Some of those people are from different countries, different parts of the world. Nobody knows who they are. They have no idea, but they're there. We're getting rid of the people from underpasses and public spaces from all over the city. There are many places that they can go, and we're going to help them as much as you can help. But they'll not be allowed to turn our capital into a wasteland for the world to see. The Metropolitan Police Department and the federal authorities will be supported in the effort, a really big effort.
Real big effort, and it's obviously a big problem. It's something that the president continues to harp on, and now, unlike many other people who will talk ad nauseum about an issue and consistently gaslight people and talk about how much they care and how compassionate they are, so on and so forth, the president is actually willing to do something about it. And wrapping up the clips from the press conference yesterday, here's Judge Jeanine Pirro, who held nothing back in her comments yesterday.
We all want the same thing. We all want a safe city. We want a safe capital. We want to be able to bring our families here. We want to be able to come and enjoy the history that makes this place great. And unfortunately, we are not in that position right now. And Mr. President, I want to thank you for taking the step that we need right now to make criminals understand that they are not going to get away with it anymore. And I'm not going to stand here and go over and over the cases. But what I can tell you is this. I see too much violent crime being committed by young punks who think that they can get together in gangs and crews and beat the hell out of you or anyone else. They don't care where they are. They can be in DuPont Circle, but they know that we can't touch them. Why? Because the laws are weak. I can't touch you if you're 14, 15, 16, 17 years old and you have a gun. I convict someone of shooting another person with an illegal gun on a public bus in the chest. Intent to kill? I convict him. And you know what the judge gives him? Probation. Says you should go to college. We need to go after the D.C. Council and their absurd laws. We need to get rid of this concept of, you know, a no cash bail. We need to recognize that the people who matter are the law-abiding citizens. And it starts today. But it's not going to end today, because the president is going to do everything we need to do to make sure that these emboldened criminals understand we see you, we're watching you, and we're going to change the law to catch you.
I love what Jeanine Pirro said there towards the end of her comments, that we need to focus our efforts on protecting the law-abiding citizens. Too many times when these discussions break out, and when and this is, of course, something that is a very polarizing political issue, and it's so refreshing to hear from somebody like Jeanine Pirro and her comments about the law and the law-abiding people, right? Those are the ones that need to be protected, not the criminals, not the people that have no interest in following laws that are on the books, not the ones that give the middle flag, a middle finger to law enforcement, not the ones that say, oh, I know I can commit this crime over and over again and nothing will happen. Those aren't the people that need protection. It's the individuals that are tax-paying, law-abiding, decent citizens. And for those on the left, that is an incredibly foreign concept. For the weak on crime, defund the police crowd, of course, all both on the left, that's something that they struggle to wrap their head around. And if you talk about getting the homeless population out of city-operated, or in this case, federal government-operated and owned parks, well, they say that you're a heartless bastard, that you don't have any compassion for people that are down on their luck, that you don't have any compassion for individuals that are struggling with mental illness or substance abuse. You can have compassion for those individuals, and at the same time, be willing to enforce laws. Be willing to keep your community, your municipality, your city, your town, your county, your state. You can keep those places safe. You can chew and walk gum, or you, you can chew gum and walk at the same time. You don't have to say, well, because there's a population of people that are homeless and struggling with substance abuse, we just need to admonish everybody and anybody from laws that are on the books. That is not a good approach. That is not a good strategy. But that's what those on the left want to do. The examples are abundant. You can look all over the United States from coast to coast and see what the end result is of these policies in Democrat-run blue cities in major metropolitan areas. It's a freaking disaster. You don't have to go back in history 100 years to see it. It's happening as we speak. It's happening right now. And for whatever reason, as you heard from the president earlier, Democrats continue to think that this is a great idea. And so, as you would imagine, Democrats responded to the president exercising his federal authority over the D.C. Police Department. Here is the illustrious mayor, Mayor Bowser, of the District of Columbia yesterday afternoon.
John Donnelly. Yes, please identify yourself.
Mayor Bowser, it's Campbell Robertson of the New York Times. Do you think this was inevitable, or do you think there are things that the city could have done or the council would to prevent the state from coming?
This is, I don't know. I can't answer that question. And I think that's a question that you're familiar with the rhetoric about the city and how long it goes back. And we also know that we're not experiencing a spike in crime, but a decrease in crime. Yep.
Mayor, Tom Shirley, you and the chief are talking about partnership.
So she's just going to stand up there and claim that, well, none of this is true. We're not seeing a spike in crime. We're actually seeing a decrease in crime. Well, one of those things can't possibly be true. You can't both of those things cannot exist at the same time. So somebody is admonishing the truth. The question is, is it the president of the United States or is it the mayor of the District of Columbia who, as you can imagine, hates President Donald Trump and the Republicans?
I've said before, and I'll repeat, that I believe that the president's view of D.C. is shaped by his COVID-era experience during his first term. And it is true that those were more challenging times related to some issues. It is also true that we experienced a crime spike post-COVID. But we worked quickly to put laws in place and tactics that got violent offenders off our streets and gave our police officers more tools, which is why we have seen a huge decrease in crime because of those efforts. We have been able to reverse that 2023 crime spike.
So don't you love the phrasing on this? So they claim that because crime is lower than its 25-year high, which was 2023, excuse me, because it is lower than it was in 2023, therefore, there's no problem. Therefore, this discussion of crime, this discussion of lawlessness in the streets, it is not a valid and relevant conversation. That is completely jimmying up the statistics and lying to your citizens. I mean, you are purposefully misrepresenting the situation, purposefully misrepresenting the facts to paint your narrative. Nobody is claiming that crime has not dropped since 2023. But just because those numbers are slightly down does not mean that there's not a crime problem. Just because they're down from their 25-year high does not mean that the problem is solved. Democrats do the same stuff with inflation. It was at 9.5% in the summer of 2022. It drops to 7% and they go, inflation's going down. Look at this. Inflation is solving its problem. Inflation is fixing itself. Well, when you're coming off of a record 45-year high, yeah, it is eventually going to come down a little bit. The question is a very simple and clear one. Is the city unsafe? Is there out-of-control crime in the District of Columbia? And some idiot over on MSNBC, Ken Delaney, tried owning Trump yesterday by posting some crime statistic numbers, saying this is proof that it's not a problem. Here are the Washington, D.C. murder rates from 1960 to 2024, showing that between 2010 and 2025, over the last 15 years, the murder rate has doubled. Has it come down from its peak in 2023? Yes. But the murder rate is still double what it was just 15 years ago. I might venture to say that that is a problem. I might step out a little bit on a limb and say that that's not a good statistic. And so is crime up significantly in the city over the last 10 years? 15 years, 20 years. Yes. The answer is yes. In almost the last 25 years, crime continues to be near or at record highs. More than 100 plus carjackings per month in the city. And you're told by those on the left, you're told by the mayor that there's no problem. That your eyes deceive you. That the situation that is right in front of your face doesn't exist. And then, of course, it turns into President Donald Trump illegally using the military against the American people. That's a great way to frame it. Here's more from the great mayor of D.C.
Has threatened. He's been making these threats since last year, and now he's carrying through with them. There's no reason to believe he won't go further. What do you say
to the president about his threats to bring the military, not just National Guard, but the military?
We don't, and I think I speak for all Americans, we don't believe it's legal to use the American military against American citizens on American soil. I'm not a lawyer, and but I think that's a fairly widely held fact. And so, but we've seen them move, I think, the active military into California. So it's a question. We've seen active military on the borders of DC some years ago. And we don't believe that our military should be used against American citizens. Yes.
Used against American citizens. That's one hell of a way to frame the situation, isn't it? That's one hell of a way to frame what's going on. Democrat policies create unsafe communities, unsafe areas that are completely out of control, that are in some cases completely falling apart. And the framing is that the president of the United States is surging the military in, and it is illegal for him to do so. No, it's starting with the National Guard. They're going to get that under control, about 800 National Guard members. They will hopefully get the situation under control. And as the president said, he's not hiding anything. He plainly stated it yesterday from the press briefing room. So there's really no way that you can claim that he's hiding information. He claimed that if things don't progress, if things continue to get worse, he will have no problem calling in the military. He said it. You don't have to read between the lines. You don't have to try and guess what the president might be saying. He publicly stated, and then, by the way, went on to take questions for about 45 minutes yesterday in the press briefing room. Will never get any credit for being the most accessible president in U.S. history. He clearly stated what his intentions were and what he would be willing to do to get this problem under control. And so between idiot pundits on cable news, I'm watching the Morning Joe show is talking about it now and how they are so dismayed by what's happening, by what this administration is threatening to do. You've got their correspondents on MSNBC posting graphs on social media, charts on social media, showing that the murder rate has doubled in the last 15 years, but it's not a problem, don't worry. And then you've got the mayor saying that Trump's vision of the District of Columbia is warped by his post-COVID time, completely admonishing all of the crime that has happened this year. Lawmakers getting carjacked, members of the administration being beaten to a pulp. That happened just, less than a week and a half ago in D.C.? A Doge employee, bloodied, concussed, almost beaten to death? But we're just going to ignore all of that and try and claim that this is not a real problem, that Orange Man is bad and everything that's happening is a result of said bad Orange Man. I mean, it's completely insane. It is a completely losing strategy for those on the left. It is a situation that is not sustainable long term. Unlike those on the left, the president says, I'm going in to solve the problem. I'm going in to fix the situation. And they just can't handle it. They don't want to handle it. Oh, and by the way, at the same time, a DC police commander was suspended about 3 weeks ago, accused of changing and misrepresenting crime statistics. That was July 18th. Being reported by NBC Washington. You heard the president comment on that early on in his statement yesterday. So the numbers are out there. We don't even know if they're accurate or not because the guy was suspended for jimmying with the numbers. So we don't even know if those numbers are accurate. But even if they aren't accurate, and let's say they're underreported, they are still showing a major increase in crime. But Democrats, as always, bury their head in the sand, act as if it's not a problem, claim that it's racist, all of the typical tropes that you would expect from those on the political left on a problem that they have single-handedly created, a problem that they are single-handedly responsible for, and a problem that they have absolutely no solution to deal with, except for now blaming the president for cleaning up the crimes in D.C. It's now Donald Trump's fault for the out-of-control crime. And so we're just going to ignore the actual crime itself, and now we're going to focus on the president. This is another losing strategy for those on the political left. This is another 80-20 issue that, surprise, surprise, the Democrats are on the wrong side of once again. And you're watching it blow up in their face right now. So, as I started the show with, you don't have to love everything that Donald Trump does. I don't think that you should. I don't think that's inherently a good thing. But I do, again, love the fact that he is willing to get things done. That he is willing to make decisions. That he is willing to try things out, to try and find a solution to a very real problem that exists. And in this case of what we're talking about this morning, we're talking about crime in the District of Columbia. So we'll watch how this plays out in the coming weeks and months as watching the left-wing media coverage, heads continue to explode over this threat to democracy. Wow, it's not like I've ever heard that term before with President Donald Trump taking control, which he has the authority to do, of the D.C. Capitol Police. We'll continue to track those details and watch how this continues to unfold right here on the Nick Craig Show. Speaking of our continued coverage, we are watching the tropics this morning. Tropical Storm Aaron does continue as it progresses through the Atlantic. It's currently moving west at 22 miles an hour, pressure at 1,004 millibars, winds 45, as those are the most recent statistics you can see in the background there. The storm looking a little ragged this morning as it continues to interact with some dry air aloft, some sand in the air, some stuff that is not allowing development to be as quickly. However, the National Hurricane Center does continue to track that storm this morning. Here is the latest chart out from the National Hurricane Center showing this continuing as a tropical storm until the middle and latter parts of this week, expecting it to become a hurricane sometime between Wednesday and Thursday, and then reaching the major hurricane status sometime late this weekend. Could be as early as Saturday night, early Sunday morning, when this is expected to become at least a Category 3 hurricane. That is what is defined as a major. 115 mile an hour winds is the major classification for a hurricane. As of the most recent model runs, which we were looking at yesterday, it does continue to show this curve away from the United States, probably splitting the gap between the continental United States and Bermuda. But as we talked about yesterday morning, the storm is still thousands of miles off of the coast. The models continue to hone in on exactly what is going to happen with this, and we'll continue to track it as it progresses, as this is expected to be the first major hurricane of the Atlantic season. Is there a risk here to the North Carolina coast? It is just way too early to tell right now. Again, modeling shows that this is still likely to curve back out to sea, but it is really hard to tell this early on when a storm is still barely just formed exactly what its impacts and risks are going to look like. So we'll keep an eye on it, and as the breaking news continues and as we get closer to the actual storm as it moves across and moves west across the Atlantic towards the U.S., we will get a much better idea of what's going to go on there. We'll bring it to you right here on the Nick Craig Show and on our social media channels. Make sure you're following me over on X and on Facebook. I want to thank the Law Group for their continued support of the show this morning. You can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. That's going to do it for a Tuesday edition of the Nick Craig Show, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. We're back here tomorrow morning right here with the Nick Craig Show.